This episode is sponsored by World History Encyclopedia, one of the top history websites on the internet. I love the fact they're not a wiki. Every article they publish is reviewed by the editorial team, not only for being accurate, but also for being interesting to read. The website is run as a non-profit organization, so you won't be bombarded by annoying ads, and it's completely free. It's a great site, and don't just take my word for it. They've been recommended by many academic institutions, including Oxford University. Go check them out at worldhistory.org or follow the link in the episode description. 500 years ago, the vast and highly sophisticated Incan Empire was embroiled in a civil war between rival factions supporting Atahualpa and his half-brother Huascar. Both men were sons of the late emperor. But while this battle unfolded, a much greater threat arrived in the form of Spanish conquistadors led by Francisco Pizarro. The Spanish contingent was small in number, but they had certain advantages. The Incas had established a vast network of roads and paths, the type of massive scale infrastructure Europeans hadn't built since Roman times. The Spanish had horses, an animal not found in South America. This meant they could move swiftly from one Incan outpost to the next. They also bought modern weapons, and perhaps most important of all, they unwittingly exposed the natives to foreign diseases such as smallpox that the Incas had no immunity to. Fairly quickly, the Incan Empire fell, and Atahualpa, the last emperor, was executed. But for many people, this tragic event was just the start of a still ongoing mystery, the search for the Incas' hidden treasure. In this episode, I speak with Ecuadorian historian Tamara Estupiñán Viteri, who after 10 years of extensive research, discovered the whereabouts of the Incas' greatest treasure. History has taught us through examples ranging from Genghis Khan to Tutankhamun that if you want to find a king's treasure, the best place to start is his tomb. The tomb of the seemingly obscenely wealthy Atahualpa has eluded archaeologists and treasure hunters. One of the greatest obstacles in their search was the fact that within the Incan Empire, a multitude of different languages were spoken, including Quechua, Aymara, and Puquino. Even beyond these languages spoken by the natives, there was a whole other secret language used by the ruling class.
Chroniclers said that they talk a secret language. The secret language of the Incas was spoken only by the noble people. That means the Inca, the Sapa Inca, or the queen or the emperor, and his family, and probably soldiers or military. That was the secret language. And the secret language is a mixture of Quechua, Aymara, and their little words of Puquina.
Tamara, this secret language was used in the time of Atahualpa, who, probably because he has the unfortunate distinction of being the last Incan emperor, is very well known around the world today. But can you explain just how an important figure he was?
It's very amazing because Atahualpa was king or emperor maybe 2-3 years or less than that. And he didn't do too much. It's a very important personaje in world history because before Atahualpa, we had a society. And after Atahualpa, we had another social order, okay, the colonial order. Before Atahualpa, it was the Indian, the Inca order, etc. People who have read about Atahualpa and are very interested, the mainly interest is the treasure that Atahualpa had, because he paid one of the biggest ransom in world history. We really don't know exactly how much, but it's millions and millions and millions of dollars. So Atahualpa is very well known because of the treasure and because with him, the Indian social order was finished and the colonial order came. They talk a lot about the treasure, they make expedition, etc., etc.
Atahualpa, having been captured by the Spanish, was executed in part because the Spanish feared a rebellion by his people. Charged with the murder of his brother, and rather perversely for rebelling against the Spanish, he was sentenced to be burnt at the stake. Ironically, like Spanish Catholics of the time who were seeking to execute him, Atahualpa and the Incas believed that a soul could not go to the afterlife if a body was burnt. After the intervention of a Franciscan friar, Atahualpa agreed to convert to Catholicism on the basis that his death would be via strangulation rather than burning.
There are not studies about what happened to his body. They also don't talk about what happened to the army after they kill Atahualpa. What happened to this big army? So when I started studying the Incas, the first figure I studied was Rumiñahui. Rumiñahui, he was the most loyal man of Atahualpa. He took care of his children. And on the other hand, Rumiñahui took the body of Atahualpa. We know that because there are documents that talks about that. And Rumiñahui took the body and he killed the man who bring the body. And after that, he bring the body to Quito. And then he start fighting against the conquistadores, but the body was hidden.
So having established that Rumiñahui took possession of Atahualpa's body, how did you use that piece of information to find his last resting place?
When I study Rumiñahui, I study in a different way. I decided to see where the military movements. I could do that because my father, he passed away already. He was a military. So I asked my dad to help me to understand how the army moved, because the chronistas and historians talk crazy things. Something was not right. What I learned is that Rumiñahui, when he was fighting against the conquistadores, he went to this place called Sitges. So I say, why is he going to Sitges? But other generals of Atahualpa also were going to Sitges. They captured conquistadores before they got to Sitges. Everybody was going there. And I asked, why are they going? What are they doing? What are they hiding? When I studied Rumiñahui, I didn't know too much about how important was the body of the emperor for the people, because without the body, you cannot have another Inca. It is the body that legitimates the new Inca. And in Quito, Rumiñahui, when he took the kids of Atahualpa's kids, one of them was supposed to be the new Inca, but he was too young. He was supposed to be the new emperor. If he wants to legitimate the power as a new emperor, he needs the body of the father. Without the body, he could not do it. So the body was more important than any other treasure. For conquistadores, the treasure were the things that were with the body. But for the Incas, the real treasure was the body. So I decided to study, once I knew the movements of Rumiñahui, I start studying a lot about the momias and how important the body was for the Incas. Doing that, I found out two words were very important. One of them is Malki, and the other one is Machai. Okay, Malki, it means the body of the progenitor of an Ayllu or the body of an Inca, the emperor. And Machai is the place where the body is. When I decided to go to Sitges, I knew about Malki. I found out the place Malki in Sitges because I asked myself, now, how am I going to look for the body of Atahualpa in a place that is more than 5,000 kilometers? There must be a clue, you know? So I found out in all documents the word Malki and in Sitges. And I said, got it. We got to go there. So we went. The first time I went with my husband and with an archaeologist. We did not even know where Malki was. I mean, nobody knew Malki. It was in the middle of nowhere. And we got out of Quito very early, and we got to Malki like around 6 o'clock in the afternoon. It was almost dark. And when we got there, we found out a wall of stones, the imperial tradition, Inca tradition. So I say myself, okay, that's it. There must be something else, not only this wall. But that time, it was hard for us to stay there because there was nothing around. We went back home. And then I decided to study more about the Incas and the whole thing about how important was the body. The first time I went to Machai, it was 2004. And the second time, it was 2012. And then I knew more things about the Incas and we found Machai. But we asked the people, do you know a place named Machai? And nobody knew it. I asked people if they have seen walls made out of stone. And one man told us, I have seen, I know there's some walls made out of stones in Machai. And Machai was just 5 minutes from Malqui. So we went there and it was a little mountain. You cannot see the stones. And we decided to climb. But that time I went with two archaeologists and also my husband. I was the first one to walk because I was the boss, you know. I start climbing the mountain and we had stairs made out of stone. And I say, this is weird. We climb and suddenly I saw stone walls, channel waters, the plaza. It was amazing. And I start running. And I was very happy. And I say, it took me more than 10 years between one expedition and the other one. But it took me less than 1 minute to know that I found at Machai. I didn't know I was going to find this big archaeological complex. Finding that, I knew that Rumiñahui or his men took what was left from Cajamarca to Machai. Because it's not a coincidence that you have two words there. Malqui and Machai. Malqui, the body, and Machai, the place where the body rests. So I knew I found out what I was looking for, but it was hard for me. I'm a historian. I'm not an archaeologist. I found out the whole thing using a logical work, a scientific work. So archaeologists were not convinced. So I asked them, okay, give me the answer. This is Machai. Machai is just behind Malqui. And you can see all this structure, archaeological structures. Then tell me what it is. They didn't have an answer. It's comprehensive because doing research for more than 10 years and they just started that moment. So for them, it was hard to say, you're right. It was hard. So I had problems with the archaeologists. I can say for me, it was easier to discover Malqui Machai than defend the discover and the hypothesis. I say, okay, I have to reinforce my hypothesis. So I went back to look for more documents. It took me like 4 more years to have the whole picture. What I found out, not in Quito, but in Latacunga, that's a place in the provincia de Cotopaxi, I found out the only value of the Inca nobility that was founded in the audience of Quito was in Latacunga. And Latacunga is Pujili, and Pujili is 25 kilometers to Machai. So they're very close. And those lands belong to the son of Atahualpa. He inherited the lands from him. That was the clue. Because, see, all the emperors of the Tahuantinsuyo live in Cusco. Only Atahualpa lived here. His body came here. So I wrote an article. I gave many lectures. But so far, nobody has told me, you're right, you're wrong. Maybe we can say this, maybe we can say that. Nobody. They still have to work, but I'm pretty sure of what I found. I decided to study the anthropology. They agree in one thing. If you want to argue A-Y-L-L-U, which is the family nucleus, okay? If you want to make a foundation of that ALU, you need 4 things. You need a social human group, of course, because without humans, you cannot do it. This group, it has to have relationship between them. That also logical because people from USA cannot make the foundation with people of Ecuador in that time because it's too far away and there are no connections. Okay. They must have a relationship between them. You need water and land. And four, the most important thing, the body of the progenitor. That means the body of the men who attach all of them. So if the only value that belongs to the nobility of the Inca, the foundation was in Cotopaxi on the lands that belonged to Atahualpa and that his kid inherited. I asked the anthropologists and the archaeologists, whose body was used to make this? Tell me, there's only one possibility, and that's Atahualpa. Okay, so they didn't say anything. And I say, if I'm wrong, okay, I'm wrong. And I'm very glad to say I'm wrong, and you're right. But if I'm wrong, then your theory, the anthropology theory, is also wrong. And the anthropology theory comes from the 19th century, just up to here. They still agree that without the body, there's no eye. So that was it. Even though I don't have the body, I will never find the body. Maybe I will find something else. I know that Atahualpa's body was there because otherwise they couldn't make the Ayu.
When we think of Incan civilization, the first place that comes to mind is Machu Picchu, way up in the clouds in the top of the Andes. In contrast, Machu Mikai is not at a higher elevation at all. So why did they choose to bury him on this site?
The Incas, when they were in war or they were in stress, they always looked for the lowlands. And Machai and Malki is in lowlands. It's not on the highland. It's very hard to find them in the lowlands. It doesn't have to do anything with the secret language or anything. They hide where they will never find them. The proof is that nobody found it. It was me, almost 500 years later, that decided to go there because the army and Atahualpa's men went there. And because I studied how important was the body for the Incas, when I found Machai, it was in perfect conditions. Amazing. Archaeologists, usually, they don't discover things. The discover is made before the archaeology because you made a road and you passed through the road and there it was. There you find a treasure or whatever. Nowadays, it's more easier because you have all the technology, but before it was hard. So usually what archaeologists do is work on a monument or something that somebody else has discovered or knew about it. Machu Picchu was not discovered by Hiram Bingham. They knew about Machu Picchu in the 19th century. What Hiram Bingham did was he talked to the world history that there was this place named Machu Picchu, but he did not discover. There was a map before Hiram Bingham. Somebody who really discovered a monument was Henry Schliemann when he discovered Troy. People thought Troy was in Greece. And only Schliemann, when he read the Odyssea and the Iliad, he said, no, it's not on Greece. So he decided to go to Turkish. And he did not discover one Troy. He discovered set Troys. Schliemann went from the document to the place. And I did the same. I went from the document to the place and I discovered.
The site that you found is now privately owned, but has it become a tourist site like other Inca sites? Or are the Ecuadorian government focused on archaeology and excavation at the site before really opening it up to the public?
Now it's open for tourists, but not a lot of tourists because there's not infrastructure there. They're taking care of the monuments, but they have done also bad things on the monument. It's more than 10 years and many archaeologists have gone there. Not excavations, only protection to the monument, but there's not a scientific research. They work for 2 months, 1 month, which is not enough. You really have to work there more than a year, at least. They have to do a lot of work. At the beginning, I was frustrated Because, you know, it was my discovery and everybody went there and it was on the news and everybody wanted to talk about it. But I care about the scientific meaning, okay? And one archaeologist came and said, this is that. And then another archaeologist came and he said something completely different. But my hypothesis is logical, it's very logical. So at the beginning, I was very frustrated. But then later on, I say, no. Because the same thing always, it happens the same thing with Machu Picchu. Look, it's more than 100 years that Hiram Bingham talked about Machu Picchu. And they are still, archaeologists, anthropologists, and historians are still discussing what is Machu Picchu, okay? And there are many hypotheses. For Machai, I think it's different because we have a history that is very, very strong for Machai. The beginning of the empire was in Peru, but the end of the empire was in Cotopaxi, where they took the secret language of the Incas, and it was in Pujili, and it was in Malki Machai. And that's very important, and there's only one interpretation, no more. The last days of the empires happened there.
The legendary city of gold, El Dorado, which has never been found, was said to be somewhere in South America. Likewise, we have this tradition that Atahualpa had this vast fortune of gold hidden somewhere, and it's continued to elude treasure hunters for hundreds of years. Do you think there's any validity to these types of legends? Or is this all just nonsense, and the body of Atahualpa that you said was the real treasure for the Incas may really have been the only piece of treasure left behind that the Spaniards failed to discover?
The conquistadores, they were looking only for gold and silver. And don't forget that Atahualpa paid for his life, two rooms full of gold. The conquistadores got to Cusco and they saw in Cusco gold and gold and gold and silver. When Atahualpa paid his ransom, nothing came from Quito, nothing. The ransom was paid exclusively with the gold and silver and the treasure that they had in Cusco and in Pachacamac near Lima. So the conquistadores, they thought, well, there must be something else, you know, in Quito. The gold from Quito was taken by Rumiñahui and he hid in this place and blah, blah, blah. First, we have to understand what was the treasure, okay? In Quito, only Atahualpa and Huaynacapal could have had a like a big treasure because the other Incas were living Cusco and they were buried there. The treasure is the personal belongings of the emperor. That's his private luggage, if you want. Don't forget that Atahualpa was emperor 1 year, some months, short time. Okay. So he didn't have time to have a big treasure like they found in Cusco. And Huaynacapac either, because when Huaynacapac was here, he was on war with the Quitenians and he didn't have time either to have a big, big, big treasure. It's his personal belongings. Okay. So Atahualpa's personal belongings, some of them were in Cajamarca. That's when they captured them. The personal belongings were the clothes, his dishes, his personal jewelry, etc. Some was captured in Cajamarca by the conquistadores. And when Rumiñahui took Atahualpa's kids and Atahualpa's wife to Quito, the kids and the wives also came with their little treasure. And they hide near the city of Quito. And Benalcázar captured part of that treasure. So what was left, it was something important, but it was not big, big treasure. That's more imagination than anything else. At least we found physical things from Atahualpa.
Archaeological work at Malki Machai isn't progressing, but your own study of Atahualpa continues unabated. What are you focusing on right now?
I'm writing right now a beautiful book about Atahualpa. And I'm not talking about only Malki Machai because I have 9 private properties of Atahualpa. I know where all of them are. And one of them is Malki Machai. I hope I will finish this year or next year. The monument is very important because what you can see, less than 40%. So they have to really work there a lot. There's more than 60% to see what's going on. Some archaeologists talk about the monument as a monument for water because there's so many water channels. And I told them, look, will you let me know why do they make this huge monument for water in the middle of nowhere? Tell me, there's no sense. Come on. Water is part of the rituality for the tradition of taking care of the mumia of the Inca. The Inca has to be in peace with water, with nature. That's why you have the water. But the monument is not for the water. The monument is for the progenitor. The progenitor is Atahualpa. That's it. They cannot say it's before the Incas, because it was the Incas who brought here the tradition of making buildings with stone. Before the Incas, they didn't work the stone. So there's no way to say it's before the Incas. And the only Incas that were here could have built that is Huaynacapar or Atahualpa. But I think it was not even Atahualpa and Huaynacapar built it. It was after they killed Atahualpa that they built it.
Tamara, I can't wait to read your book, and thank you so much for this interview. It's been a fascinating topic. Mm-hmm.